Deaconess Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer.
Let us bow heads. Father, this morning we come to you with praise and thanksgiving. We know that you are present, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for being our Father, our brother, and our friend. Lord, we are so blessed to have you watch over us and take care of us and all our needs in spite of our shortcomings. Lord Jesus, this morning we ask that you help us not to let the storms of life take our focus off of you. We thank you, Lord, for being our storm chaser. For your word tells us that you will calm the storm or remove it completely, but only in your time. Lord, help us wait for our deliverance. For we know that we can't rush you like we try to rush everything else in our lives.
Well.
And Lord, help us to recognize that our character should not be based on our strength, but on our faith and commitment to you.
Yeah.
When we go up in our secret closets, Father, teach us how to express the deepest emotion that lie hidden in our hearts. Help us to leave behind those things that have held us captive for so long. More than anything, Lord Jesus, help us not to be obsessed with wealth, lest we forget what it's like to be poor. Not to desire power, but then we may look down on the weak.
Well,
cherish the amount of education a person has, but we will surely forget those who are simple, down to earth, or unpretentious. Worship those who are in power, because we will scorn the meek.
Yes.
Long for fame to only forget the lowly. Or be idle, Lord, because we will certainly fail to hear your call to us. Lord, this morning we pray for our daily bread, for strength to carry on the good fight of faith, for a clean slate from your forgiveness, and for peace of mind. Father, we know that you are watching us, and we will have to give an account to you. So we ask that you help us to be good stewards of the precious time you have given to us. We know that we hasten your return. Each time we pray the words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 6:10. And each time we share the gospel, for you taught us that this good news of this kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony, Father, to all nations, and then the end will come.
Well.
Matthew 24:14. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful servant, Bishop Cuff, who you chose to feed your flock. We ask that you give and you lavish him with the gifts of your Holy Spirit, that he continue to minister in your household as your true servant and a steward of your divine mysteries. Lord, we thank you for calling him to proclaim the gospel to us at the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries. We ask that you continue to bless Sister Cuff and his family. And her family. We ask that you look with mercy and grace on Sister Cuff, Father, and her foot problem.
Yeah.
Let her know that you are with her throughout this difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for granting her a healing and restoring her strength and
thank
her
you.
Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Outreach Ministry. Father, we praise you for you. For you're watching out for our homes. We ask that you root out any bitterness or anger or resentment and fill our homes with faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control,
yes.
Tolerance, and righteousness.
Yes.
We pray for our young people this morning and ask that you protect them. Be their guide. Send those specially chosen companions and friends that you want them to have. And more than anything, Father, save them from making any costly blunders or mistakes that can haunt them down the years. Lord, we ask you that you bless each of them with joy and happiness only you can give. Almighty Father, we praise you for your gracious care and for keeping the men and the women of the military at home and abroad. We pray that you continue to defend them day by day with your heavenly grace, strengthen them, Father, in their trials and temptations. We ask you to give them courage to face the dangers which face them and grant them a sense of your abiding presence wherever they may be. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we know that we all will be attacked from the ills of the flesh. We pray that when it comes, if they must come, that they fill us, find us fearless, bold, and unafraid, because you have given each of us your full armor to take our stand against the devil's scheme.
Yeah.
We pray you give us a constant faith and a steady courage that we may neither whimper nor complain before you. We know in our hearts, Lord Jesus, how much we need you. But because of our swell heads and our stubborn wills, we keep on trying to do it without you.
Come on now.
We thank you for not allowing us to make mountains out of molehills.
Yes,
and
sir.
Acknowledging our own importance and the problems that confront us. Give us the faith, Lord, to believe that as we trust in you, you will give us the answers we cannot find by ourselves. Lord, we know that in your perfect kingdom, that the only sword that will be drawn will be the sword of righteousness.
Well.
Only strength will be the strength of love. We know that the saints from all corners of the earth will come together one day under the banner of the Prince of Peace,
yeah.
The children of one Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
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 You know, Deaconess Freeman, I'll tell you how powerful God's word is. As we all know on this call, that the Bible is clear that men shall preach the gospel, but it didn't say that women can't pray.
Amen.
And so we give God the glory that we got a praying deaconess female named Deaconess Freeman. That's not to take anything from Deacon Edison. I'm telling you that Deaconess Freeman, you keep praying the way you pray. Do not stop. Do it until Christ calls you home. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
I heard three or four people click in. If you want to identify yourselves for the edification of the church, do so.
Good morning, it's Dee.
God bless you, Dee.
Good morning, Dee.
Bless your family.
Good morning, this is Nikki.
Good,
good morning,
God bless you, Nikki.
Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning.
I heard two more. All right, well, we praise God for your obedience to announce yourself. If you're part of this fellowship, you edify one another when everyone knows who else is in fellowship. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
We have to boldly proclaim who we are. I don't care if you get here late or tune in late, but the secret is to get here. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
My grandson Marvin has joined us, and I praise God for his presence. Listen to me closely. Do not let this world take you down. It is the mission of the enemy to take us down. So many of us have no knowledge that we're in a warfare. And this war is not just with the old folk, middle-aged folk. It's from the beginning to the end. The devil's job is to destroy us, to deceive us, and to deny us our rights to the kingdom. The Bible is clear about this. It's also clear that there's many false prophets that are working for the devil, that are sitting here telling many people, as the scripture clearly says, many will fall into this category where they are hearing false prophets. During our Bible study Wednesday night, which was a very healthy and strong and powerful one, and I'm blessed that the men took part in it. I'm so thankful for Lance's and the rest of the brothers, in particular brother who's part of this church is named after his father, and that's Julius, or Chip to me, who also took part in it. Listen at me closely. This is not a spectator sport. This is a involvement. We're all in this game. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
This ain't a game just for the preacher and for the deaconess. It's everybody's in this together. You edify one another. We're like, when I was a child, popsicle sticks, you intertwine them. I don't know what we were doing with them, but, you know, we did some creative things with popsicle sticks, by the way, that some of these young people might want to try it if you can find a popsicle stick. But in my day, you know, and that's what I see is that we're interwoven. It's like taking your fingers and joining them together. They are more strength. You can lift people up with them interlocking fingers. But you can't do it when you got one hand.
Amen.
When you lock them together, and if this flock is locked together, walking and moving towards the kingdom, can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
During a Bible study, we had the discussion, and I would pray that we continue that next Wednesday about the issues that were brought up. These are true and critical things for us to understand. One of them was about the blind leading the blind. If you have your Bibles, and I know you do, turn to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. This is not the sermon which comes out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, but it's relevant. It's just vital for us to understand this. One of the things that the devil tries to do, and the devil operates in us when we don't keep our mind stayed on Jesus. One of the things that concerns me is that when we conjure up in our own minds the folliness of our own minds, things that the Bible gives us clarity to, but we ignore the Bible and we conjure up in our own minds. And let me give you another word for that. It's called apostasy. When you have the knowledge of the word and you replace it with what you want it to be. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
And it might sound logical to you, or it might feel fuzzy, or it might be pleasing to itching ears, but your call and my call is not to do any of that. Our call is to be obedient to God's word. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Obedience
Amen.
Is a word that's very seldom I hear preachers do use. I listened at a preacher this morning who preached for one half an hour. Not one time did he use the name Jesus. Not one time did he quote a scripture from the New Testament. Not one time did he require people to be obedient. Not one time did he mention that the wages of sin is death. He continued along a line of favor, how you're favored. And God told him that this church is favored. And people jumping up and down without knowledge. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I cannot in good spirit and good consciousness, nor can you, allow people to fall into that trap. And then we sit back and say, oh, well, they'll get it sooner or later. Listen to what the scripture says. Verse 14. Let them leave them alone. You need to note that. The first thing that you're told, or first instruction is, leave them alone. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
Leave them alone. They are the blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leaves the blind, both will fall into the pit. Now, I don't see anywhere in there where you got this latitude or longitude to be able to have this nonchalant or this laissez-faire attitude about people who are being misled. First of all, that text tells us that we who believe have to know who the false prophets are.
Amen.
And so if you know a false prophet and you got a loved one that's sitting up under a false prophet, you will take the road of least resistance and just don't say nothing and let them fall into the pit. Well, somebody might as well say amen.
Amen.
Because it affects all of us. We have family members who don't even believe in Christ, who show no outward example of being a Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
But they'll use the name Lord, Lord, which our text will get into that. Listen at me. This is not a game. This ain't Obama mania. You see, Obama will come in and be in there for 4-8 years, and then he'll do like George Bush. He will disappear into his little home and write books and go on the circuit. Listen at me. Don't be a fool. Don't be crazy about things in this kingdom. Jesus is your Lord. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Your Lord from the moment you wake up until the moment you close your eyes. Last night I woke up during the night, and of course the first thing on my mind is Jesus. But I know the devil is always back in the background. Come on, somebody. He's
Amen.
Always waiting to attack you.
Amen.
And so the word
Amen.
Tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Listen at me. You and I cannot let things get into our mind. The Bible says, guard your heart and your mind that you will not sin against God. And the other one tells us that you got to watch what you think, because you'll be accountable for it. Watch what your eyes see. Watch what you put your affections on. Are y'all come on with me?
Amen.
And this foolishness that we do in this kingdom, for those who have eyes to see can see it. Most can't.
Amen.
You will get hyped up over a man that we got to pray every 5 minutes that somebody don't kill him.
Amen.
Or y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
There's more security in Washington now than any president's had. You can sell T-shirts in the mall and T-shirts in the hall. Listen at me. Your Lord is Jesus.
Amen.
You give homage Amen. To no one else but Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
There's no man walking that deserves the fullness of your heart but Jesus.
Amen.
And we didn't get off into this foolishness of following the patterns of this world when the Bible tells us that you put your mind on things above where rust and robbers and thieves can't break in and steal.
Amen.
For where your heart is, that's where your treasures are.
Amen.
Check yourself this morning. We pray God's blessings on him as he starts his journey. I pray God's blessing on this whole nation. We're going down. I told you 18 months ago, a tsunami's coming, and it's on shore, and half of us still can't see it.
Amen.
Spending every dime we make. Spend no time in the Word. We just want to do what we want to do, be what we want to be, say what we want to say, and then don't understand there's consequences above and abide, behind and near to us when we disobey God.
Amen.
And his Word.
Amen.
And talk all this stuff about the year of his favor and that you're highly blessed and favored, and yet I see people who profess that are totally lost. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no all this stuff that I hear them constantly preach about, and churches get packed because you're looking for things in this kingdom. Word of God Church, you're blessed.
Amen.
If you can sit up under my loud mouth and hear the truth of God's gospel, you're blessed.
Amen.
I didn't ask to be a preacher. I despise most preachers because I was like most men. I can tell a pimp. Oh, come on, some men.
Amen.
Women follow pimps. Men don't sit up under pimps. And that's why I always ask how many men we got on this call. Listen at me. God is God. He'll never change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
And we live in perilous times, church. There's things going on and none of us know what's happening. Only the Father knows.
Amen.
And we can't walk around when he's told us to watch out for the signs of the end time. These things are lining up in front of us, and we still can't see them. God, I was looking out the window this morning, and a guy that does it every day, amongst many others, runs this stop sign. Didn't even slow down. That's the lawlessness that the Bible talks about. Riding around, talking on cell phones, over the line, back over the line. No consideration for others. The Bible talks about that. In the last days, there'll be lovers of themselves. They will deny the truth and accept the lie.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't be deceived by it. And so they end up on this blind, leading the blind. The Bible's clear. They both will fall into the hole. There's no way out of it. You and I stand on the Word. Romans chapter 1 says, man is without excuse.
Amen.
You can't find a Bible. You can find Bibles everywhere.
Amen.
There's no excuse. It's not that I'm the only one can listen at a false prophet. He's given all of us the discerning spirit. You first listen for Jesus.
Amen.
If they're hanging in the Old Testament, every scripture this man gave this morning was out of the Old Testament. And all talking about favor. And so you ain't got to do nothing. Nowhere did he ever say you had an obligation to be holy and righteous. He said God is giving you favor. Watch who your God is.
Amen.
Jehovah says that you, if you love me, you must what?
Obey
me. You want to hear some? Find out what the obedience, what it is that God wants us to do. And don't let people deceive you with this notion that, well, that's the law. We're under grace. And we are under grace. If it wasn't for grace, none of us would be sitting here.
Amen.
He could have took us all out because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But it says in the Bible that John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that everlasting life requires a change. You've got to be flipped. Your mind has to be totally changed from the way you came out of your mother's womb. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And I'm telling you this morning, if your mind is still functioning like it was, when you're in the recesses of your mind, you don't have to worry about what man knows. Worry about what you think.
Amen.
When nobody's around but the Lord.
Amen.
You want to know how close you come into the kingdom? Sit in your private room or in your secret closet. Turn off all the distractions that the devil has for you. And just stop and say, now, what am I going to think about now? Oh, come on, somebody. It'll blow your mind how you drift away and drift here and drift there. Listen at me. Keep your mind stayed on him. He'll give you perfect peace.
Amen.
There's no weapon that can be formed against those whose minds are stayed on him. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Be worried about trivial, silly, stupid things, ungodly things.
Amen.
Just amazed at what goes on. I went out this morning to a little hotel off the interstate there, packed. Heading to D.C., 5,000 potty things for $2 million. I go to bathroom 3 times in an hour. I'm going to go up and get sandwiched up with 1,500 people around me, talking about, excuse me. If you only understood how mankind is so lost. It doesn't take any little thing would distract us from Christ.
Amen.
Talking on the phone and they're, oh yeah, Obama. Can't even spell it. Obama. What does it mean? What does Obama mean? Listen at me. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Back on my text. Y'all have to let me go because the Spirit leads me. This is not my show. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. The religious lip service is not enough, church. That's the title. The religious lip service is not enough to get you in the kingdom. Listen how the translation in the Message Bible puts this. I like the way it makes it real plain. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Knowing the correct password. Did you get that? Knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience. If you have that Amplified Bible, I encourage you to underline that. Serious obedience. Doing what my Father wills. And if you want to know what the will is, which I will cover, so you have no mistake about it. Verse 22, I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands, like they're going to D.C., just thousands are strutting up to me and saying, or staggering up, strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preach the message. We've asked the demons and our God-sponsored projects have everyone talking. Verse 23, and do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Let me give it to you from the NIV. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You need to underline the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You know, I was taken back when this plane that went down into the Hudson River in New York City, and all of them walked away. But as the reporters start talking to the people, one thing I did not hear, but from one, if that many, halfway from one, giving God the praise and the honor and the glory that he allowed them to walk away from that plane. These are signs of the end time. This, you know, the pilot did a great job. The pilot only did what God allowed him to do.
Amen.
And see, those who can't see don't see, oh, the pilot was skillful. And he brought the plane down. He wasn't skillful. He couldn't even miss the doggone birds flying around him. Listen at me closely. You have to always be thinking what God's thoughts are.
Amen.
And all good and perfect gifts come from who?
God.
Not from man. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Little things that we take for granted that we have to give God the praise. You see, in this kingdom, the devil reigns supreme. Let me try to work this another way. In other words, a man may be able to do things and be great and get great results. Now, for example, this false prophet this morning, see, I call them as they are. Yeah, I'm not going to wiggle around it. If I've listened and I tentatively listen for weeks, I don't just make judgments. I sit down and listen. And that's what you should do. You should always check the scriptures against what you hear. And when I sit there Sunday after Sunday and then I hear one word about Jesus, but then you got a house full of people. You see, the Bible tells us don't worry about what you see. You see, you don't walk by sight. See, those are sighted people. Oh, they all jumping up and down. All the men got bald heads because he got a bald head. Oh, no, that's how it works. That's how it works. If I come up, if y'all come up here, the ones here in Richmond one day, and all of y'all fat looking like me, then I'm going to say we got a problem. Church that I was licensed in, that one Sunday the pastor came to church with a black white polka dot tie on. Guess what? Next Sunday, a whole lot of deacons had black ties with polka dots on it. Don't tell me the blind don't lead the blind.
Amen.
But if you follow Christ, you're being led to the kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
And so you got to watch supernatural things like Benny Hinn and those who come on television. Every time they get close enough to expose them, they wiggle around it. Having somebody who have already talked to the people. Listen at me. God is God. He is for real. His son is for real. His word is for real. And all we have to do is lean and depend on him. Not worry about what we see.
Amen.
Chasing after things that you'll never have. You see, the devil is the ruler of this kingdom. And so you got to have suspect on any and everything your eyes show you.
Amen.
Yeah, the devil is he's the king of this earth. Listen at Ephesians 2:2. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Ephesians 2:2. How many times do we hear preachers talk about obedience? You see, Satan will do anything to keep people under his bondage. Even if it means getting them to say, Lord, Lord, and endowing them with the evil supernatural power. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, I listened closely this morning. This man continuously told people to say what he said. You know, we're like sheep. We're so easily led.
Amen.
And God made it clear back in Genesis that when he surveyed man, he knew that every inclination of their heart was towards evil. Nothing's changed, by the way. Men's still that way. That's why our Lord tells us that only a few will get into the kingdom. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Church, listen. Jesus says that outward display of spiritual power do not prove a thing to him. Notice in our text that the many, in verse 22, and there will not be but a few that will make it into the kingdom. Not the many, but the few. Says in the NASB, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, church, when you practice lawlessness, ungodliness, the Father has no use for that.
Amen.
And the sad thing this morning, there is a multitude of people who Christians, but they're not born again. And the question might be, how can this be? How can this be, this practice of lawlessness? Jesus gives a parable, more a positive reason, at the end of verse 21, where he says that he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. Multitudes of religious people, evangelicals included, are in the loss. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
They're not
Amen.
Godly. They have not the will of God in their presence. What is Christ referring to when he says, is this salvation by works? No. Let me make sure you understand that. None of us can do any works to get into the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
But that does not preclude us from following the will of the Father.
Amen.
Now, this morning, I want to bring this down where you have some sense of what the will is, so you'll be without excuse. You have no cover. You will know it, and then the truth will set you free. One of the things that this Sermon on the Mount addresses at the beginning of it is the word Beatitudes, or the deep ethical spiritual obedience found in God's Word. You need to start taking good notes now, because I'm getting ready to give you what could get you in the kingdom, will get you in the kingdom, what gets you in God's will. I've told you at the beginning of the year that I want to, or maybe at the end, that I give you concepts so that you have not just a small snippet, but a broad concept of what the Bible's teaching us. The will of the Father refers to God's will as Jesus has revealed it in the Sermon on the Mount. So right off the bat, you need to make a note to know that you know that you know Matthews 5, 6, and 7. Jesus referring to the profound heart obedience that is not only on the surface, but permeates our inner being. The will of the Father indicates the character and conduct of the kingdom of God. You need to make a note. Your character and your conduct is what you must be able to measure. Way to test yourself is to look below the surface. That's why I'm so thankful, and that's not an easy kudos to us, that we don't have to get all dressed up.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the scripture bears witness to that, that God doesn't look at the outside of man. He looks at the heart of man.
Amen.
He don't care
amen.
What kind of fancy clothes you walk around trying to impress people with. And wasting your money running over to the hairdresser to get your stuff laid down for Sunday. He ain't got nothing to do with that, because he knows that's temple.
Amen.
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 I've lived long enough to know it. When I was young with this flat head, I thought I was it. And now I'm old and fat and know I'm old and fat. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, don't fool yourself, young people. You look good today. But you can ask any of us who lived a while that it goes by quick.
Amen. Amen.
And it goes from where I love you, baby, to what's for breakfast.
Amen.
Every time I put that devilish TV on and see these old people walking along the stream, holding hands, laying on the shoulder, I get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the other day, y'all just bear with me, I said I need to get rid of this. My wife has a two-seater that I can't sit down in, because if I get down in, I can't get up. I said, I need to get me a nice, big, fat leather two-seater, and then I can sit there and kind of lay her head on my shoulder like she did when we were young. Sit the cuff laughing at that. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm trying to watch these old commercials about medicine for us old people, because they always find these old people that they're thin, and they just walk holding hands and laying on his shoulders and all this kind of stuff. I said, now that's crazy. Back on our text. The way to test yourself is to look beyond the surface. Do not look at the apparent results of the miracles or the orthodoxy or the way you talk and way you walk. You got to get deeper. You see, the beautiful attitudes of the kingdom of God is what you're after.
Amen.
Amen.
You're not after these falsehoods. Are you poor in spirit is the question. Are you meek? Do you have a positive quality or a strength in saying, yes, I am a sinner?
Amen.
You know how few people walk around saying, you know, I'm a sinner, but the Lord has changed me. You know, I've gotten a few emails from the members of this flock who just break down and just ask for God's mercy to the things that are in their mind. You, for those of you in that category, listen to me. There's not a day I don't go by that God reveals some of the demonic things I've done in my lifetime that now I know was the devil. And my God has forgiven me as he's forgiven you.
Amen.
Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust the word. He said he's blotted it out. And even though people might try to hold it against you, they're not your God and they're not your Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He's forgiven us. If he didn't, we would not be in the light. We'd still be in darkness.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
And even though when it come to my mind, I asked him, Lord, forgive me. And then I have to ask him, forgive me for asking him to forgive me.
Amen.
Because by faith, he's done it.
Amen.
It's a done deal. Although I thank him that he brings it back to my mind. You know, church, I'm telling you, it's a dark world out here. Until you come in where the light is, you can't really see the darkness.
Amen.
Because you're rubbing elbows
Amen.
With it.
Amen.
You're following your ego and your pride and your chump change money and your clothes and the way you do things. You want it for yourself. Listen to me this morning. You cannot enter the kingdom under those conditions. So the question is, are you poor in spirit and are you meek? Meekness is something that is evading mankind. Do you give up the parking spot? Do you let somebody jump in front of you in the line? Or you let somebody with one item get in front when you sit up there with a whole shopping cart full? Head up in the air and say, I'm here, you wait.
Amen.
I might as well say amen.
Amen, amen.
Grab the last loaf of bread or whatever it may be. You know, it's all about self. That is not the way to the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You must. Are you compassionate to those who are hurting and lost and in physical need? You know, I'm still amazed that all of those TV shots of the people in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, they're being bombarded off the face of the earth, and no one in this country is saying a word about it. Women and children, over 4,000 of them hospitalized, over 1,000 dead. What a disparity. You got 11 dead on one side and over 1,000 on the other side, and nobody's saying anything about it. They have no compassion for children who have no heat, no food, no medicine. I got to think about that. What if I didn't have these 11 pills I take a day? What corner would I be lying over and stroked out on diabetes or blood pressure and gone through the roof? And how would I make it if I didn't have something to eat every day? And how would my arthritis work if I was in a cold, damp, cold nights, no heat? And yet we have no compassion for them. We don't have any compassion for people in this country who every these cold nights we had. I saw one church where they were lined up around the church. But see, people don't want to see that. And have no forgiveness in their heart. Those are the things we have to address this morning, church. Now, do you respond to Jesus' exposition of the law when he says, For I say unto you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. Church, you cannot and I cannot allow these words just to fly over us.
Amen.
What he says is what he means.
Amen.
And for those who might not know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were surface people. They tuned their horns and they knew all the law and the scriptures. But they did not have Christ in their heart. They were after the surface. They would blow horns and go down the street where people saw them coming. Oh, the Pharisees are coming. We got it today. Preachers with gold chains on one hand and bishop rings on the other hand. Oh, come on with me. And gold gold earrings too. And gold cufflinks on and starched shirts and so-called eloquency of speech. We got one now that he'd have been elevated to the mayor of Richmond. Not that he was the first preacher that was there. The other ones went to jail. You might as well say amen.
Amen.
You can't get away with this. God will not allow it. In his own due time, he'll deal with you. Like the mayor of Baltimore, you know, you have to really have discerning spirits. The train comes into Baltimore, and where's the mayor? Nowhere to be found, because you've been indicted.
Amen.
And I'm saying, these guys, they are cold-hearted. She's still a mayor. She hasn't been convicted. But her own buddies kick her to the curb.
Amen.
She ain't nowhere to be found on the steps of the city of Baltimore. I said, this is a cold world.
Yep.
You sit around and you talk about one like a dog and this, that, and the other, and tomorrow they got a big breakfast. You know, this is crazy. You done call me everything but a human being. And I could see if you was being godly. It's the way the game's played.
Amen.
I hope y'all getting this.
Amen.
Matthew 5:3 starts our journey, church. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' sermon on the mount is just plain unbelievable how clear it is to me, and I pray to you. It's powerful that we can hardly overstate its influence. Caesar Augustus, for example, described it as a perfect standard for Christian life. Church, the Sermon on the Mount for the Christian believer is simply the greatest sermon ever preached. Matthew 5:6-7. Why is this? To begin with, it's because it's from the lips of Jesus. The original, by the way, was probably quite long and probably several hours. And that's why when I started off, I wasn't concerned with time. I learned that during prison ministry. You see, when you make them short and compact, nobody don't have to get their toes stepped on.
Amen.
Oh, no, that's not where you feed niching ears. When you let that spirit lead you, you will be able to do God's will. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
Bible study went for 1 hour and 18 minutes on Wednesday. And I don't recall anybody being out, you know, hanging up. And it wasn't me that held us there. Who was it? It was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because when you seek God, you'll find him. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
By the way, I sent those who I know can't be on that Bible study, the Bible study. Normally, I don't send it out, but those who I know can't be got it. And anyone else who wants it, who's part of this congregation, is more than welcome to have it.
Thank you.
But we agreed not to send it to others because we're opening up our hearts, and that should be something that we can do under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The Sermon on the Mount is a compact theological outline from Christ. And you and I have to understand the essence of it. Every phrase has meaning to us, church. We can't deny any part of it. Because the theme is entering the kingdom of heaven. You need to make yourself a note. You need to know what it means to enter the kingdom of heaven. Go back to 5 and 3 and then 7 and 21. I'm going to keep going. Church, as we expose ourselves to the x-rays of Christ's word, we see whether we truly are believers. And if believers, the degree of the authenticity of our lives. No other section of scripture makes us face ourselves like the Sermon on the Mount. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
It's somewhat of a violent approach, but it's liberating. It is the antidote to the pretenses and shams that plague Christianity today. You know, you got so many people saying that they're believers, got gold cross and silver crosses on, and have no sight of Christ.
Amen.
They know how to talk a good game, like our text says. You know, they're good at that, using those highfalutin words. And some of our poor preachers have got to the point where they even know how to twist their mouths. I was listening to the mayor, and he can't even stop all that when he's trying to talk to non-believers and atheists and everybody else. Well, yes, I, it's like, well, and we're going to work together and all this foolishness. You know, seminaries teach that foolishness. The seminary that I went to taught it. Every Saturday morning, we had to listen to each other's sermons. And then you, at Virginia Union, you got to stand in front of that podium. You can't move one or left or right. You got to read straight off your text manual. And if you stray off of it, you're graded on it. Now, I got people sitting up here looking at me, and they know I'm on it, off it, around it. Know why? Because I'm led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit draws me back on my text, so well. Sometimes I say, why did I sit up here and write all this? Half of it, I ain't talked about it. Know why? I am led by the Spirit as you are led by the Spirit.
Amen.
I speak by the Spirit, you hear by the Spirit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to get into these Beatitudes, and I don't have much time, so we're going to have to keep going until we get through it. First of all, I want you to know that the Beatitudes, which someone has not accurately, and I'm one of them, by the way, call the Beatitudes the blessings. Now, I'm going to talk to you about that. Because the more I studied and the more I got into it, we find that there's some difference about this word blessing. But suffice it for you to understand at this point that the Beatitudes is the bedrock of our revelation from God. Did you get that? It's our foundational, because it describes the character that we who are believers have to have to be in God's will.
Amen.
Amen.
See, it's not enough to just say we have to be in God's will in order to get in the kingdom. We got to know what God's will is for our life.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you get these Beatitudes, you'll be close to it. The first four Beatitudes focus on our relationship to God. And the second four are on our relationships to our fellow man. Each of these eight builds upon the other. Did you get that? You can't just pick some out. They all build on each other, so that there are amazingly beautiful and compelling progression in this. And at the same time, there's a profound unity. The first Beatitude, which is verse 3, and the last Beatitude, which is verse 10, and with the same reward, the kingdom of heaven, which according to Hebrew style means that the Beatitudes between them and all deal with the very same theme, the kingdom of heaven. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
As we begin our look, we must understand that there is a snowballing of interest in Jesus' ministry leading up to this event. We had people travel long distances back in those days to Galilee to hear the teaching in the synagogues, and people are coming to him by the droves for healing. It's not unlike what we see today. You get some ministries that are so-called healing ministries, and people go great distance looking for something for nothing. Now, come on with me.
Amen.
Amen.
And when he says to the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to do what? Teach them. You need to underline that, Matthew 5:1-2. He began to teach them. Our people are not being taught the teachings of Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You don't need to be hollered at or emotionalized. You and I need to be taught the gospel, the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus chose a prominent raise or hill to sit down in the customary teaching position of a rabbi. And by the way, that is why I sit down. For those who don't see me, I'm sitting at a table. And I'm surrounded by the saints who are like Jesus had around him. Not that I'm Jesus by no stretch of the imagination. There's some on the couch and some at the table and some in chairs. That's how they were around Jesus.
Amen.
They reclined and listened at him teach. Oh, y'all, come on with me. Remember Mary and Martha? One was sitting at Jesus' feet, just tentatively listening. Come on.
Amen.
And that's our charge, is to be taught, to obey everything I've taught you. Matthew's the 28th chapter say, and lo, I will be with you even to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
So the question is, do we really want this approval that God provides in these Beatitudes? Or do we want to be happy? And let me clarify this word, happy. You see, church, happy means that you are pleasing and resting in God. You see, we use the word happy meaning feeling good. Are you with me? You see, happy is when God is approved of us. And so in order to get into the kingdom, we must be approved by God.
Amen.
And so if you want to use the word happy, happy as Vernon Gump or whatever his name says about the chocolate, as chocolate is, happiness is happiness is. And happiness is what's pleasing to God. Y'all come on with me.
Amen.
Amen.
It's about this feeling fuzzy. What does the Bible say about feelings? They're deceitful.
Amen.
Amen.
And it would behoove us to understand that happiness is not a feeling. It's a state of obedience. It's a state of being and pleasing to God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
And as we get into these Beatitudes, we want to make certain that we understand this. For the sake of time, I'm going to bring this to a close and pick back up with it next Sunday. I'm not in any hurry because you have to understand how this works. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
You have to understand that the will of God is what we must seek. And the first thing we'll pick up with is understand the poverty of the spirit. You see, let me for one brief moment discuss this with you. As long as you and I think that we're in charge of our life, we are spiritually in poverty. Well, come on with me.
Amen.
As long as you don't understand that it's not about what I think, it's about what the Father teaches us.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 helps us. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought at a price. Not because of because slaves do not become slaves of men.
Amen.
And see, that's one of our problems. We have to understand, and most people who profess to be Christians don't understand. It is not anything until we give up ourselves.
Amen.
You just got to give it up. You got to give up your thoughts. It's like I tell y'all, I will continue by the power of the Spirit. You can't continue doing things that you were doing before God came in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to take a notebook and write down, well, how have I changed? And people should be able to see the change in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you cuss, you don't cuss no more. And it's because you can't cuss or you're not equipped to cuss, it's because God has changed you. And if you don't think that's so, let somebody get push that wrong button. Well, y'all might say amen, lights.
Amen.
But see, here's the key. You don't walk around cussing all day long.
Amen.
You know, I'm probably the only one did that in this flock. But there was a time in my life I would cuss you out. And if you didn't watch it, I'd knock you out. I'm not proud of that. I think it's ancestral. I got an aunt that, you know, for those who don't know and those who do know, I was a foster child. And God has allowed me to get a picture of my mother. She died at a young age, but now I know what she looks like. And by the way, that's something that takes a little effort.
Yeah.
Simply looking at this lady, I don't know who she is. Now, by the way, I had one other mother that we thought we had found was my mother. I knew that wasn't my mother. I knew it wasn't my mother. Everybody said it was my mother but me. And Bree, my daughter-in-law, she said, that's not your mother, Mr. Cuff. And what I did was just pray and said, Lord, if this ain't my mother, then let it be. Now, how I knew it wasn't my mother? Because she was white. And ain't nothing white on me. I don't care. I mean, I ain't got a pink cheek nowhere. And I said to myself, now, I know my father might have been dark, black, but somewhere along the line, it should have been a little difference in shade. But everybody else at the table said, oh, that's your mother. It wasn't my mother. Her and my mother had the same name. And by the way, this lady that was my mother, she was had African blood in her. Anybody whose name Cuff, take this to the bank, it's got African blood in them in this country. Sometime I'll just tell you, go on the internet and look up cuffs. I can track back to 1700 and bring you up to this present day. That's a gift from God to me. Didn't know my mother. Got an aunt, by the way, that's alive in her 80s, and she refused to talk to me. Yet I pray for her every day. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
She's trying to protect my half-brother. And I pray God will allow me to find him. I think I'm getting close. And he's got it. He's only a year or two younger than I am, so he's in his 60s. And if he can't handle it, tell him to sit down, because I'm going to tell him who I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
You should. Deacon Edison, if you lead us in prayer.
Sure say amen.
Amen.
Man, that's right, Deacon Edison. Based it up so they can hear you.
God is a good God, is he not?
He is indeed. Praise
Amen.
His name.
God has given us another day, we thank him. Well, it is not our will, but his will.
Amen.
We're all here. If you would turn with me to the book of Ephesians, beginning with chapter 4. I tell you, chapter 5, verse 1.
You found us, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. right? Be imitators of God.
Amen.
Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for what you've allowed us to hear. We thank you for the prayers that have been lifted up, Lord God, and the scriptures have been read. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Continue to grow us, Lord God, that we will be pleasing in your sight. Let your will be apparent in our lives as we walk each day under the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask now that you bless the bread and the wine as we prepare to commune together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.